Okay, imagine you're a lawyer, right? And you're grabbing lunch at a food court. But this isn't just any food court. It's in like a state-of-the-art courthouse, super convenient. But, and here's the kicker, what if one of the restaurants in this courthouse refuses to serve you? And the reason, get this, is because of your race.
Whoa, that's a tough one. So is that just a private business decision, or does the fact that it's in a public courthouse make it something else?
Exactly. And that's the question at the heart of this case we're diving into today. Burton v. Wilmington Parking Authority, a 1961 Supreme Court case, it really gets into this concept of state action.
Ah, state action. Classic constitutional law. It's all about when the government gets so entangled with a private entity that the private entity's actions are basically considered the government's actions, and that triggers constitutional scrutiny.
Right, and that's huge for us legal folks, right? This state action thing, it determines when the Constitution's limits on government power actually apply to, what seem like private actions.
You got it. The 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal protection under the law, mainly restricts government entities, not private ones. State action is the bridge that can, in certain cases, extend those restrictions to private entities.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of Burton. What actually went down?
All right, picture this. 1961, William Burton, an African-American city councilman in Wilmington, Delaware, gets denied service at the Eagle Coffee Shop. It sounds like a pretty clear case of discrimination,
Oh,
right?
yeah, definitely. But there's got to be a twist, right? I mean, it wouldn't be a landmark Supreme Court case otherwise.
You're sharp. You're absolutely right. Here's the catch. The Eagle Coffee Shop. It was inside a parking garage, and not just any parking garage. It was owned and operated by the Wilmington Parking Authority, a state agency. The restaurant was just leasing the space.
Hold on. So we have a seemingly private business operating within a public space owned by the government. That's where things get messy. Did this go to court?
Oh, it did. It went all the way up. And the Delaware Supreme Court, they actually sided with the restaurant. They said, look, the Eagle Coffee Shop, it's a private business. The 14th Amendment doesn't apply here.
I can see their logic, but how did the Supreme Court see this? A private restaurant in a state-owned parking garage? That's a tangled web.
That's where it gets really good. The Supreme Court, they overturned the Delaware court's decision, siding with Burton. And they did this by really examining the relationship between the parking authority and the Eagle Coffee Shop.
So the Supreme Court, they saw more than just a simple landlord-tenant situation here, right?
Right, they did. They zeroed in on a few really important things. First, the fact that the parking garage itself was built using public funds, maintained with public funds. That right there, that's a big sign of state involvement.
Yeah, I see that. Money talks, right? But did the court look beyond just the dollars and cents?
Oh, yeah, they did. They also really emphasized how physically, like operationally, the coffee shop was woven into the parking garage. It wasn't just some afterthought tucked away. They planned for it, built it right in from the beginning.
Interesting. So it wasn't just sharing space, it was like baked into the whole concept, a public facility.
Yeah.
What else did they consider?
Well, they brought up the financial side of things again. Remember that great line from the opinion, profits jingling in the same pocket?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. So they saw that the restaurant doing well, that directly benefited the state agency.
Bingo. The money the restaurant made, it was a big part of keeping the parking authority running. The court, they really focused on that.
All right, so we've got public funding, we've got them all mixed up together, sharing profits. Pretty clear signs of state involvement. But did the court, like, create a rule, a test for figuring out state action in other cases?
That's a good question. They didn't really lay down a hard and fast rule. What they emphasized was the need to look at each case really carefully based on its specific facts. Sifting facts and weighing circumstances, that's how they put it.
Got it. So, no easy checklist. Every case, you got to dig into that relationship, the government and the private entity, see all the nuances.
You got it. And that's what makes this area of law so interesting and honestly so tricky. It's not about one size fits all. It's about taking Burton, these principles, and figuring out how they fit all these different situations where public and private get all blurred together.
Sounds like that leads to some interesting arguments in court. I bet this case, Burton, it sparked a lot of debate, different interpretations, even among legal scholars.
You bet. One of the fascinating things about Burton is that there were some strong dissenting opinions, Justice Frankfurter and Justice Harlan.
Oh, right. You mentioned them earlier. What were they concerned about?
They were worried mainly about the court, you know, maybe overstepping. Their fear was if you make state action too broad, it could really discourage private businesses, like a chilling effect, stifling innovation, the whole economy.
Okay, so they weren't saying discrimination was okay. It was more like thinking about the long-term consequences of the decision.
Exactly. They were urging caution, saying, look, we need to be nuanced, balance individual rights with the need for a strong, independent private sector.
As a whole other layer to an already complex case. Feels like Burton really pushed the court to wrestle with some core questions about the relationship between the government and private businesses.
It definitely did. And these questions, they're even more relevant today. Think about all these public-private partnerships popping up, infrastructure, tech, even healthcare.
So Burton, how does it help us navigate this world? Where those lines, public and private, are getting blurrier all the time.
It gives us a framework, a starting point, some principles to guide our thinking. But as we've been talking about, it's not a simple equation. We have to look at each case on its own, consider all those specific facts and circumstances.
So it's like Burton gave us this powerful lens, this tool, but we got to use it carefully.
Right.
Really look closely at each case, all the nuances.
That's a great way to think about it. And to do that well, we need more than just the legal stuff. We need to understand the social context, the political stuff, the economics, everything.
Yeah, makes sense. Law doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? It's always interacting with the world.
Exactly right. And that's what makes Burton, even though it was decided over six decades ago, it's still so relevant. Still makes you think, you know?
You know what's interesting to me? It's like this whole Burton thing, it really shows how much the legal world, the landscape, it's constantly changing. Always new situations, new tech, and all these lines between public and private, they get blurry.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about it, right? Back in 61, when they decided Burton, the internet, basically science fiction, no social media, nothing like that. And now, look at us. Government watching everything, data privacy, private companies controlling what we say online. It's a whole different ball game.
So it's like, Burton, it almost set the stage for how we think about these issues now.
Yeah.
Even if the details are different, right? The court gave us these tools, these principles, and we have to figure out how they apply to all this new stuff.
Exactly. And that's what keeps it relevant, you know? For us legal folks, it's not just about memorizing some old rules. It's about taking those principles and figuring out, okay, how do we interpret them, apply them to what's happening now? It's a constant process.
Can you give us an example of like how Burton might apply to something today?
Sure. Let's take social media. These platforms, Facebook, Twitter, they're privately owned. But they're like the new public square. Everyone's on there debating, discussing everything. So the question becomes, how much can they control what people say without bumping into the First Amendment?
Oh, yeah, that's a big one these days. So how does Burton fit into that?
Well, some people say, look, these companies, they get benefits from the government, right? Legal protections, tax breaks, that kind of thing. So maybe their actions, they could be seen as state action, just like in Burton. And if that's the case, then they might have to follow the same First Amendment rules as the government itself.
Whoa, that would change things. It's like Burton could be a way to hold these big tech companies accountable, the way they control what we see and say online.
It's definitely an interesting legal argument. And it shows how Burton, even though it's an older case, it's still part of the conversation, especially now with the internet and everything.
It's almost like back in 61, the court kind of saw the future. Not the specifics, obviously, but the big picture. These challenges we're facing now.
That's a really interesting way to put it. It's like they were giving us a heads up saying, hey, this public-private thing, it's going to get complicated. And Burton, it reminds us that law, it has to adapt. It can't just stay frozen in time. It has to grow and change along with society.
And that's our job, right? Us lawyers, we have to think critically, push the boundaries, be creative, take these old principles and figure out how they fit into the world today, all these new situations.
Exactly. And that's what makes this whole field, the law, it's intellectually stimulating, it's rewarding. We're not just robots following rules. We're thinking, we're interpreting, we're applying, we're always learning.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Burton v. Wilmington Parking Authority, I think we can all agree this case, it's more than just some old legal story.
It really shows us the power of the law, how it shapes our lives, how it protects everyone's rights, no matter how blurry those lines get between public and private.
It's like a call to action for all of us, legal professionals. Stay sharp, keep those principles in mind, and use what we learn from Burton to tackle all these new challenges we're facing.
And most importantly, it reminds us this whole idea of equality and justice. It's not a destination, it's a journey. We have to keep working, keep thinking critically, keep understanding how law and society, they're always intertwined.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Hope you found it interesting, made you think a little. And hey, this isn't the end of the conversation. Keep learning, keep asking those tough questions, and keep pushing yourself to understand this amazing, complex world of law and justice.